mornings on SEN.
Yeah, fascinated by Gary's spray tan or lack thereof and Tim's bushy legs and all sorts of things happening on breakfast. Just catching the end of that after Trade Radio this morning. Fascinating listening. Never actually had a spray tan myself either, but perhaps I need to look into that. We are here for the Hyundai Tucson Turbo Diesel in stock now. It's Kane Corns in for Jared Waitley, or you can call me Chad, or you can call me Graham, or you can call me Corn or Corny, like was the case yesterday. All sorts of shenanigans going on yesterday, which we love, though, and love it when you get involved in the show, and you have plenty of time to do that this morning. 1-300-736-736. That's the open line for EFS, delivering simple freight solution. Massive McCafe menu coming up, as always. Big David Zeta is making his way nicely into the news breaking realm, and he's going to join us from Fox Footy very, very shortly. Day two of the trade period is set to get busy. More breaking news this morning, which we'll work our way through. Liam Santamaria is our NBL expert. The Adelaide 36ers shocked the world yesterday, defeating the Phoenix Suns, if you don't mind. We'll get his thoughts on that and the start to the NBL season, which has been terrific. We'll cross the divide with Andrew Voss. Vossie will wrap up the NRL Grand Final for us. Sam Edmund in the chair after 10:30 with Sarah Ollie, his mate Cadell Evans as well. McCafe are our official coffee partner. I want to start with the Bombers because their best and fairest was on last night. Let's have a listen to the new coach, Brad Scott, with a strong message to his players last night.
But I talked about the opportunity we've got and that we don't have any time to waste. The condition that the players come back day one of pre-season will tell a story in and of itself. And I'm convinced that if we get things right, we'll get what we deserve over time. We are entitled to nothing, but we will get what we deserve over a period of time. We do compete in probably the most equalised competition in world sport. The AFL have achieved their objective of making this competition incredibly tight, where the difference between winning and losing is marginal, and it's getting smaller and smaller. So my commitment to you competing in that environment is to continue to invest in our young talent and wrap them in a world-class football program. We'll also commit to developing our players to be the best they can be. When I was approached about potentially coming back to coach, it wasn't only a decision of coming back into the coaching ranks, it was a decision and a fit that I was looking for to develop young talent. It's what I love doing. I love working with players. And in this playing group, I can already see there's a group of hungry young men who are keen for success, and more importantly, they're willing to invest the hard work.
I'm not sure they're that hungry, and I'm not sure they've been that hungry at Essendon. So you know, that was Brad's initial observation of it. I think the actions of the Essendon players and certainly their senior players tells a different story, and I was highly critical of the trip to Ibiza, and we spoke about that on Footy Classified, and there was a strong reaction to that. But more so the results last night were interesting to me. So Peter Wright won the best and fairest, and congratulations to him. What a story it is. But it was the players that didn't finish in those podium slots that interest me. And I wonder whether Andrew McGrath gets off scot-free because of, you know, comes across as a strong leader, is well-liked, and you hardly hear a bad word spoken about him. But well into the peak of his football career, for him to finish 12th in the Essendon Best and Fairest, a side that didn't look anywhere near playing finals, is a terrible result. The same thing can be said for Dylan Scheel and Darcy Parrish, equal 9th in a Best and Fairest where the team didn't play finals football. Just not good enough. And Jake Stringer didn't even finish inside the top 13. So what does that say about a few of the individuals at the Essendon Football Club and actually how serious they are about their football? So there's a couple of storylines out of that night last night, and I always found it an interesting night leaving the best and fairest. Whilst it's an individual award and it doesn't necessarily mean that much, it's always a reflection of how the coaches have seen your year. And I reckon there should be some embarrassed Essendon players leaving that award. None more so than Andrew McGrath, Dylan Scheel, Darcy Parrish, certainly Jake Stringer on the seasons that they had. And Brad Scott's comments that they're hungry and driven, I'm not sure that is the case. That can change, and if it's channeled in the right direction, I'm sure there'll be a real increase in performance. But I thought they were interesting last night. Out of the best and fairest, some news this morning broken by Matthew Lloyd. Let's have a listen to him on Anthony McDonald, Tippin Woody, and the potential for a comeback.
But a bit of news, Kano. Anthony McDonald, Tippin Woody was in the room, despite obviously you know, retiring earlier in the year, and he is contemplating a return back to football to play AFL next year. Essendon are very keen for him to rejoin Essendon, but leading the race to have Anthony next year is the Fremantle Dockers.
You're kidding.
Yes, so Anthony McDonald, Tip and Woody. So considering a move to Western Australia to play for Fremantle, if he does decide that he's going to put the work in and play AFL football again. But, yeah, both the Bombers and Fremantle would like him to play, and Fremantle leading the race currently, Kate.
That's a great story. That was 3AW's Matthew Lloyd speaking on Trade Radio this morning. Football is better when McDonald, Tip and Woody is playing. I hope he gets super fit. He's only 28, 29 years of age, so plenty of football left in him. And we'd love to see him light up the AFL next year. You can have your say on any of that. Bombers fans, 1300 736 736. Let's go to our next guest from Fox Footy. His name's David Zeta. Zeta, thanks for your time, my friend.
Any time for you, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Big story over the last couple of days is Jason Horne-Francis, over the last 24 hours, I should say, and how this one plays out. Certainly Brady Rawlings from North Melbourne was speaking a tough game yesterday. What was your initial thoughts when you heard that Jason Horne-Francis wanted out?
Oh, it's been bubbling away for a while. There's been talk that he's been quite disenchanted with his time there at North Melbourne. We can understand why. There's been talk that the Alistair Clarkson situation has been the final nail in the coffin, so to speak, for Jason Horne-Francis. I'm not sure if that's the case. I think he's been keen on a move and a move home for a while now. It's just been a matter of it building and a request actually coming. So, look, there's clearly not much sympathy. I'd imagine that the temper text isn't exactly overly sympathetic towards him. It's not sympathetic towards most people, but I would imagine that there's not much sympathy for Jason Horne-Francis, but he wants to get home. Now, Brady Rawlings said it's a request home to South Australia. Chris Davies, Port Adelaide's footy boss, said he's 100% just wants to come to Port Adelaide. So North Melbourne won a bidding war. I don't think they're going to get one. Even Adelaide were pretty resigned to the fact that he was going to be headed back to Port Adelaide. So I don't think a deal gets done anywhere else but Port. I think he'll get there. Now, Brady says that Jason could come back if they held into his contract. I don't think that's possible. I think he's definitely playing for Port next year. It's just a matter of what they have to give up to get him. And pick 8 and next year's future first rounder is not going to be enough, according to Brady Rawlings. They've got back better. It's going to be a difficult negotiation. I don't see it being done quickly. But at the end of the day, Port will just do everything they can to get him over the line, because they're effectively getting a number one pick for a bunch of first round picks. So he's a massive talent, regardless of what you think of his decision. And I think he will be getting to Port Adelaide. It's just a matter of time in this trade period.
Now, you're making your way as a news breaking journalist. What are the big stories that you're chasing up this trade period? Well, what's the marquee stories, you think? And have you seen a trade period like this before?
Well, it's pretty amazing. I guess the fact that Tim Taranto, the deal's been done on day one, and a deal that we, you know, in maybe even last year, this would have been one that was probably the biggest one. We saw Adam Chera, who signed pretty early, and then the trade period was sort of a fizzler. It's certainly not going to be that way this time around. There is a bunch going on. There's movement left, right and centre. We don't know who's going where. There's plenty happening, plenty of curveballs, as the Jason Horne-Francis stuff, which Cal Toomey broke on the eve of the trade period. It just shows that this is a really massive, unprecedented trade period, really, where movement can come from anywhere. Now, Luke Jackson is going to be an interesting one. I still think David Walls, the Fremantle list boss, was very strong on Rory Lobb not going anywhere for Fremantle. I still think that he could get to the Dogs, and I still think that there is wiggle room there, despite what they're saying. It's just very difficult for them to be able to get in someone like Luke Jackson for a couple of first-round picks at least, and then have him and Sean Darcy in the same side, and then keep Rory Lobb on the list. So I still think that Lobb can get to the Dogs. Brody Grundy, yeah, it's amazing, really, that he's virtually a lock to be at Melbourne by the end of the week, you would suggest. It's pretty much a done deal, and Graham Wright have been to the nuts when he came in to trade radio to the trade period today. So yesterday, rather. So all these moves that you would think are ones that would take until the very dying stages, they're ones that are being done and clubs have been talking about them for some time. And you know, Graham Wright said they've been working on this for the better part of 12 months for Collingwood. So this is not something that's foreign to these clubs. These are deals that have been in the works for a while. It's just a bit of a shock that how far we've progressed, I guess, in just a couple of years' time, that these deals are being spoken about well in advance. There's not too much ill will, but the fact that these deals are being done quick just shows there might be a slight changing of the guard in terms of how we perceive trades and whether or not they can get through. And obviously, Kane, you'd be quite happy because it means that the long-term deal is not all it's cut out to be, in Brody Grundy's case at least.
Yeah, the long-term deals are a disaster on the whole. Yes or no, before we let you go, does Rory Lobb play for Western Bulldogs next year, yes or no?
I'm saying yes, still.
Does Josh Dunkley play for Brisbane?
Yes.
Horn Francis at Port Adelaide?
Yes.
Jack Bowes at Geelong?
I think he's going to get to Geelong, yes. There's a few suitors for him, but I think Geelong, yes.
All right, and Brody Grundy plays for Melbourne. That would be a yes.
Absolutely, yes.
All right, lots it is yeses. All happening. David Zita, thanks for your time, mate. Appreciate it.
Anytime, Cade.
Good on you, Zita there. We go way back. Used to produce me on the Captain's Run back in the day, now working for Fox Footy, making his way in the news-breaking realm. Sound like he had a bit of a cold there. Did David might need to go on and inhale some Vicks, I think, but we do appreciate his insights. Joe is, in fact, it's Jose in Hastings, wants to speak about the Hawthorne Football Club. Jose, good morning. Thanks for kicking us off.
Kano, how are you going? And congrats on your run, mate. Just bring up about the Hawks. We're probably going to have about seven or eight, if Mitchell goes to Collingwood, about seven or eight spots on the list with McAvoy retiring, Shields. Lobby's got a fair bit of cash freed up, and we've only brought Carl Amon in, which I think is really good that he's wanted to come to the club, even given what's been happening. But just wondering who else. I thought we might have been really keen on the Bowes trade just to get that extra pick, because we've got 6 and 24, so we've got a couple of good picks and plenty of cash. So we're pretty much in a good spot, and I think we've actually got our first and second round future picks up our sleeve as well. So we're in a pretty good position. I just wondering what you think about that.
Yeah, I think they made a conscious effort to do just that and stock up via the draft. Of course, under Alistair Clarkson, the draft was neglected and that really hurt the club. Spoken about that at length, but over the last 2 years, they've invested back into the draft and will do so again this year. Feels like it'll be a couple of steps back before going forward at the Hawks. They don't have to spend the whole of the salary cap, so they can save some of that, which you think they would do. But clearly the priorities for Hawthorn is to go to the draft with that pick 6 again and the picks that you mentioned and into the future and rebuild with a bit of youth, which you would think is the smart thing to do. Good on you, Jose. Let's go to Reg, wants to speak about the Bombers and the new president and the new coach. Reg, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, good day, Mr. Corn. How are you?
Thank you, mate.
Yeah, just there's two things. One with the president, I can't understand why it's all gone quiet after Sunday and Judy. How the president blatantly lied. He did lie. He was at the vote and it wasn't a unanimous vote. How he could come out and say that and then be found out to be telling a lie and nothing's happened from it, I don't understand. But the second one is...
What do you want to happen, though? What you know? Wouldn't that just be the way that you'd spin it to your supporters? I mean, you don't... Not every club tells the full truth. You'd want it to come across like it was a united decision. Now, it's been a bit embarrassing since Kevin Sheedy has spoken, but what would you think the fallout from that would be?
Just tell the truth and say it was a majority decision.
Mm.
That's all supporters are looking for is the truth. That's all. No, it's... So long as the truth's out there, everyone will be happy.
Might be in the wrong industry with the truth, though. I'm not sure that many footy clubs tell the truth. But anyway, I get your point, mate. What's your second point?
second is, with the new coach, if you go back to the history of him, when he left North Melbourne, I'm almost 100% positive. He made a statement he hated coaching. He's glad he's out of it, and he'll never return. He just didn't like it at all. And now he's come back, and in the first interview he gave, he says, oh, I just love coaching. Again, no truth.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Look, I can't, if he did say that, I can't recall. I know his brother Chris Scott went on Footy Classified with us and said it's not, paraphrasing a little bit here, said it's not that an enjoyable industry. And if he was advising his brother on whether or not to get back into it, he would probably advise him against it. So that's my recollection of that. I'm not exactly sure whether Brad was that strong when he left North Melbourne that he hated coaching, but I'm happy to be corrected on that one, Reg. Thanks for your thoughts. Let's go to, is it Cecil on the line? You want to speak about Geelong?
Dallas.
Sorry, mate. What? Callis, that's your name. What do you want to speak about, Callis?
No, it's Dallas anyway, mate. KO, first of all, love your work, bud. In regards to that last caller, I'm actually wrapped. I'm a Bombers supporter. I'm actually wrapped that we've got Brad Scott. I think he's the sort of coach that we need, sort of the hard nut type thing to get these players back loving the game. But what I rang for, KO, is the BNF. I agree with you with in regards to Shields, Parrish, you know, Merritt, you know, they need to be more consistent in their game. But in regards to the BNF with Big 7-seater winning, I'm actually looking at it the other way, mate. Like, this is a guy who left Gold Coast. You know, he's been at our club 2 years. I think he kicked 53 this year.
Yep.
I think it's a wonderful effort from Big Peter, but in a side that didn't win that many games to kick, you know, 50 plus goals. I think it's a wonderful effort, and just shows, mate, you know, if you prove to somebody that, you know, you're willing to give them a chance and stick with it, you know, the results work, you know, and I think it's a fantastic effort from Big Pete this year.
I agree with you on that. There wasn't any criticism around Peter Wright. I think it's a terrific story, and he probably was their most influential player, and I'm glad that clubs are starting to recognise those players that don't play in the midfield. We saw Tom Lynch win Richmond's best and fairest. Jeremy Cameron was the same at Geelong. Now Peter Wright does the same in a competition that he's dominated by midfielders winning all the awards. I love that. But I think if you're some of those key players that are highly paid players at the Essendon Football Club with the seasons that they had, you'd want to take a good hard look at yourself as to why that is the case, where your performance has been so underwhelming as voted by your coach. Jack's in Hawthorne. Jason Horne-Francis, how do you see this playing out, Jack?
Well, Kano, I just wanted to know, if this Horne-Francis deal does go through with Port, they're going to give up a bunch. But then what happens with Willy Rioli? Does he get to Port, or does he have to go back to West Coast and try and get another season at West Coast?
No, I would have thought Port Adelaide got pick 8, so that's clearly going to go for Horne Francis. You've got your future first-round pick, which will go as well. Perhaps a player such as Miles Bergman or Josh Sinn will be enough to get that over the line in the end. And then for Willy Rioli, they've got pick 27, which they got for Carl Lamont. Now, I would think that is more than fair for Willy Rioli, who's out of contract and wants to leave at the age of 27, 28. So then you do that draft pick for Willy Rioli, and clearly West Coast need to get back into the draft. So I think they can pull both of those off. I guess the one that has been unfortunately affected by this is Jack Graham, who they were keen to get, but that one is on the back burner since the Jason Horne-Francis one has bobbed up. We'll get back to your calls after this. The number's 1300 736 736. If you want to jump on the phone and have your say on any topic, we've got lines available. You will get straight through. We've got a big morning coming up. Kane Corns in for Jared. Back with your calls after this.
Mornings on SEN.
Yeah, coming up on the McCafe menu, Liam Santamaria is going to tell us how the Adelaide 36ers stunned the world by beating the Phoenix Suns yesterday, as well as taking us through the start to the NBL season, which has been exciting. Andrew Voss to wrap up the NRL Grand Final. Fair bit to get through with Vossy very, very shortly. But right now it is time for your calls on the open line for EFS, delivering simple freight solutions. Let's get to Andrew, who was at the Essendon Best and Fairest last night. Andrew, good morning.
I was there, Cornsy, and it was a great night. It was a fantastic night. And although the crowd was or the attendance was pretty ordinary. It was only about 600 people. That's half what normally go. But anyway, that's how you go when you're losing, you know, a good side. The president spoke very well, but I was very impressed with the new CEO, and Andrew Thornton, and also Brad Scott. Both speeches were fantastic. They were, very much centred in relation to improvement and being united, and that message went out to the crowd. But the issue about Peter Wright winning the best and fairest, while I don't want to be putting a hypothetical or a conspiracy theory out there, did he win it? He deserved to win it, but if I was a conspiracist, wouldn't it be great? You know, he's come from the Gold Coast, washed up player, basically, comes to West and win the best of Ferris. He was given a second chance, and there's a number of players who are looking for new clubs. Wouldn't it be great for them to have a look at Peter Wright and basically say, well, if he can do it, they can do it at Essendon as well.
As an example, Oh, good on you, Andrew. Thanks for your insights into the night last night. Ron wants to also speak about the Bombers. What's your thoughts, Ronnie?
Yeah, g'day, Kane. I watched many Essendon games, and you are 100% right about the best and fairest. I mean, you look who filled the place of Merritt, the best midfielder. Then you had, I think, Mason Redmond and Guelphy up there. Now, the likes of Dylan Shield and McGrath should be embarrassed. Stringer missed half the season, but the rest of them need a good look at themselves, Kane, because half their effort this year wasn't up to AFL standard.
No, I agree with that. Stringer still played.
Congratulations on Peter Wright winning it.
Yep.
Fantastic on Big Peter winning it. Not taking anything away from him, but the rest really need a good look at themselves.
Good on you, mate. Who needs a big preseason next year? Certainly some Essendon players. 0433 98 11 16 is temper a mattress like no other. Send us a text, because no doubt there's a few Bombers players that need to get busy in the off-season and get fit. Gaz is on the road. You want to speak about a couple of those Essendon players, Gaz?
Yeah, g'day, Kane. Stringer, Parrish, McGrath, a couple of others Shield. There that you mentioned. All missed a fair chunk of the season. They missed more than five games, most of them.
Dylan Shield played 19. I think Parrish was 18.
So how many did he miss? So what's that, four games? Oh, I was...
Three.
One game off.
Three
games.
Parrish played 16, finished ninth in the best and fairest. 22 games in a season, mate.
22, okay. So I was a couple of games off. How many games what was the other one you just said?
Shield.
Parrish?
16 he played.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I'm saying. So what I'm saying is they've missed a fair few games, so they're not going to win the best and fairest if you're going to miss games. I mean, I think that you need to have a look at that before you start getting too negative about it. The last couple of calls, it's great to see some positivity back on this show, but I normally love to hear what you've got to say, and same with Kingy. But when personal views get over professional views, I just don't think it's...
How is my personal view? I'm not invested one little bit in the Essendon Football Club. The assumption that Andrew McGrath should finish higher than 12th in the best and fairest for the contract that he is in the prime of his career for a number one draft pick, I think that is a fair and reasonable criticism. Dylan Shield on the money that he's on, 19 games for the year, finishes 9th in the best and fairest. I would think that is a fair assumption that is a disappointing year and a reflection of a few of the individuals. Darcy Parrish, for the career that he's had, for the season he had last year, should be finishing higher than equal 9th in the Essendon best and fairest. I think that is a more than fair assumption. And I reckon most Essendon fans who have put up with a lot of rubbish for a long, long time and a lack of success would be saying the same thing, as was the coach Brad Scott last night, who said we'll get a fair indication of how the Essendon players and how serious they are by how they return on day one of pre-season. So thanks for your view, Gaz, but I reckon you're being very, very soft on your Essendon Football Club if you're giving them an out on their performance this year. We'll get to Lucas, Tom, Billy and Steve after the 9:30 news headlines. A lot of people were lining up to have their say, which we love, 28 minutes to 10 o'clock if you're with us on SENSA in Adelaide. It's just ticked over 901. Lucas wants to speak about the Bombers. Lucas, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, hey, mate. I've been a proud Essendon supporter since a young age, and I think you're just disrespecting Parrish a bit there. You know, he did miss a fair few games this year, and you got to remember, like, last year he made the All-Australian. When he does play on his day, he's arguably one of the best midfielders in the comp again, getting the footy. I think you're being a bit harsh, Kane.
Oh, I'm not being harsh. He's voted by the coaches, mate. He played 16 games and finished equal ninth in the best and fairest. I would have thought a player that gets as much of the footy as he has when he played would be judged better than that by his coaches. So, you know, I think the defensive action of his game has been noted by the coaches of the Bombers. So, yeah, I thought he was terrific last year, but I disagree with you that he is one of the better midfielders in the competition. And I think the Essendon coaches saw that the same way this year, but I appreciate your view. You're a Darcy Parrish fan, and that's fine. He's got a lot of fans. Best players do it year in, year out. Scott Pendlebury's finished top three in the best and fairest 14 times. That's what the greats of the game do. If you want to be great, you do it consistently year after year. Tom's in Seaford. You want to speak about the new Bombers CEO, Tommy?
Yeah, well, g'day, Kane. Thanks for the great show. Kane, I wanted to talk about the new CEO's personal comments and beliefs. And Tim raised this, it's front page of Herald Sun and Gary too, about his position on homosexuality and abortion. I'm finding it is a staggering double standard that basically people are calling for his scalp because he holds those beliefs. We saw the opposite when Haneen Siddiqui, Muslim player, female, wouldn't wear the rainbow jumper. Most people were silent, said nothing. We've got the Bashahuli Foundation that's going to training young Muslim men as opportunities AFL. They will almost certainly hold the same beliefs. No one goes up to Bashahuli and says, what's your position on homosexuality and same-sex marriage or abortion or anything, because they wouldn't like to hear the response, and he wouldn't be cancelled. So my point is this, the AFL's going to have to make a decision on this. It either supports religious freedom and people's personal beliefs, or it does not. But why are conservative Christians attacked and pilloried and demanded their resignation, and people from other religions, Muslims or Hindus or anyone else, and there's no criticism? The AFL can't walk away from this. Is Australia now descending into a situation where you'll be cancelled for having personal beliefs against the left, whereas multicultural beliefs and religious beliefs from other groups are almost supported? We saw Israel Folau cancelled, and yet we see nothing said about any other people from another nationality or religion hold the same belief.
Thanks, Tom. It's areas that get, you know, quite passionate. I can hear the passion in your voice, and it's tricky to navigate this. I do know that Andrew went on with Gary and Tim this morning, and Gary put a lot of difficult questions to him. I haven't heard that because I was on Trade Radio, but what we might do is play a little bit of that, because Gaz was, I think, asked him the questions that needed to be asked this morning. So we'll hear a little bit of that later on this morning. But I appreciate your passion, and these issues can be quite divisive with our audience. So we'll tread carefully in and around it. Billy is in Ascot Vale. You want to speak about Jason Horne-Francis, Bill?
Yeah. Hi, Kane. Yeah, just quickly before I do. Look, I agree with you about Essendon. I know there's a few supporters out there not happy with your comments about them, but I agree with you that their year was a complete failure. So I don't know what they're jumping up and down about. But on Francis Horne, with the number one recruit now, sort of the number one draft, you think a lot of teams are going to sort of go back to the old days of trying to just find someone from their own state? Looks like it's doing a full circle again. I know that AFL want to even up the competition, but it just looks like all these kids that come over from other states suddenly get homesick pretty quick now.
Well, it's a tricky one, because you get players who get drafted to another state and they absolutely love it, and you'll get 15 years out of it. Now, I always thought Matthew Pavlich would come home, but now you can't get him out of WA. So whilst it is a risk, and sometimes there's going to be that go-home factor, you'll get the other side of it where, you know, players just embrace their new state and their new footy club, and you can't get them to leave. It is a really difficult one for the list managers of interstate clubs, no doubt about that, and something that you have to weigh up on an individual basis. Speaking of which, my old mate Steve from Lilydale is a big Crows fan. No doubt he's crying over spilt milk because Jason Horne-Francis doesn't want to play for the Crows. Steve, good morning.
Yes. Good morning, Kane. Oh, before I get to that, has all the Victorians took it when one South Australian wants to go home as opposed to the litany of Victorians that have left South Australian and Western Australian clubs and stuff. It's
You'd be
funny.
Disappointed, though, wouldn't you, as a Crows fan, considering you offered pick 5 and 6 and 14 last year for Horne Francis and now he doesn't want to play for Adelaide?
Yeah, I just that's what I wanted to talk to you about, Kane. It's I wanted to have a talk to you about I don't like doing this, but your double standards. because you were critical of Adelaide for paying overs for Isaac Rankin.
Mm.
And it's gonna be the most it's gonna have to pay a bomb for him, a player who's and you're saying he's done not much, even though he finished top 10 in the Gold Coast Best and Fairest.
Top 10.
But exactly, top 10 for a small forward. But the poor Power franchise are now gonna pay probably the most they've ever paid for a player who's done what exactly? Who's done what? He's annoyed all he's had arguments on the field, refused to train, broke team rules, done all of these things, been petulant, and has been proven to be soft mentally. I take it back. He belongs at the Port Power franchise, Kane. I take it all back. He belongs
all right.
at the Power
so
franchise.
So all of a sudden, you don't want him. You've offered the biggest trade value ever, pick 6 and 5 and 14, and now 1 year later, just because he doesn't want to play for Adelaide, you reckon it's a good move that he's not playing for the Crows. Geez, you change your tune quickly, Steve. I love your contribution to the show. You know that. I say that affectionately. Let's get to Sam quickly before we get to Liam Santamaria on the NBL. G'day, Sammy. You want to speak about the Bombers? Sammy.
There you go.
Yeah, good. You want to speak about the Bombers' best and fairest. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I could not agree with you more than anything. You look at the blokes that finished in their best and fairest, say the Parishes, the Shields, they're their best players, and that's just a result of where they finished on the ladder this year. Because of those blokes having crap seasons is the reason to where they finished on the ladder. So I don't get why the supporters are jumping up and down about your comments when they're 100% true. Look at where they finish on the ladder, and that speaks 1,000 words.
Good on you, mate. Thanks for your thoughts on that.